Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Strategies for Success. This is Robbie Motter, the host. I'm very excited because I have a fabulous guest today, all the way from the UK. Let me tell you a little bit about her before I bring her on. Her name is Josine Abrams, and she is the African chairperson for LONI and the founder of Peace for Global Women. She works in collaboration with women worldwide affected by domestic violence and abuse. She has received several humanitarian awards for her outstanding work and is the author of several books. She is also the recipient of the She Inspires Me Award 2020 and is on the SEMA Advisory Board and also a co-author in Quarantina and Beyond, a book that's soon to be coming out. Josine, welcome. I'm so happy to have you on the show today. How are you?
I'm glad to be on your show, Robbie. Thank you so much. I'm well. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this. I've been dreading to come. You know, I had problems with our phone at the beginning, but I'm glad I'm here now.
Yeah, it's going to be easy. What I want to know is I want to know more about you. I want to know about what is LONI, and then after that, let's talk about what the Peace for Global Women is. So tell me about you and how you got involved in these projects and what they are about.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Robbie. Right. I started writing due to my own story, which was prompted by domestic violence. I got married so early, and during those marriages, I had a problem with my second husband. My first husband, I got married, and he died just 3 years after I got married to him, and I had a baby, and it was at the age of 22. So when he's gone, after we did all the rituals for burial and everything, I stayed for a while because I was still in Africa. Then at the age of 25, 26, thereabout, I decided to get married again. It was just peer pressure because I was copying everybody else. You know, when you're young and everybody else is doing it within the community, you just feel left out and you start to be the talk of the town. So you have to, to do something. I felt compelled that I have to be like what my peers were. So I got married again. I found this guy, and I thought, oh, well, everything is going to work this time. Anyway, before I knew it, it worked for a few months. Then domestic violence started in the marriage, and it didn't last. It took me about 3-4 years to come out of that relationship, but I had already been, you know, damaged mentally because it was really upsetting what I was going through. So to cut the story short, after we divorced, I realized that I couldn't cope with a lot of stuff in my head. So I had to be hospitalized for blood pressure. And after that hospitalization, they realized that there was something beyond this illness, beyond this health problem, which I didn't want to speak about. But, you know, as counselors, they've got their own way of finding out the truth from somebody. So they insisted that I speak about those things that are really worrying me. So I started speaking, started coming out little by little until I spoke quietly about my ordeal for domestic violence and abuse. It was quite horrific what I went through, and I realized that without speaking or without saying it out, without writing, without sharing with other people, I wouldn't be a normal person again. I started writing just because of that. That prompted my writing. But after I finished writing, I felt a very big relief on me. That's when I began speaking again. Because when people saw my books, they started hiring me to speak. If you really want to know this book, where I poured out my story, is Peace After the Storm. That's the book where I've written my story. Whoever wants to see the story, what I went through, is in that book. And I found out writing to be therapy. Writing made me stronger. When I put all the things on pen and paper, I felt better. Then from that way, I was hired to speak. Meanwhile, I moved from Africa now to England. That was early 90s. That's when I came and do further training. Then I become a lecturer in health and social care, which I love so much. I love that profession dearly. I was just teaching, but I didn't realize that I'm going to end up having my own company again, where I help people, the elderly, where I help people who are suffering from dementia, where I help people who are physically disabled and they need help. So I did that practically, and it helped to change my life again after going through what I went through and decided to do this in health and social care. It helped me. And going out into communities, into different places, into different countries, speaking with different women, trying to help them, to empower them, to inspire them, to counsel them, to go through their own problems and try to help them to solve their own problems, I realized that there's so much in me that I wasn't giving out. There's so much that we won't be able to help. That's when I realized that I need to hold my own organization, which is Peace for Global Women. This organization was also prompted after I became a Lowani chair person for Africa, where we went through in different places in Africa, helping women to empower them, to motivate them to start small projects of self-help, where the women could just even grow vegetables, where the women could do the knitting to sustain their financial situation, to help their family so that they could have something to feed on. So it didn't stop there. I realized that there's so much in me that I need to share with women, especially women in Africa who resonate with my experience of domestic violence, who resonate with what I went through and the misery I was under, which I thought I would help other women as well. So that's why you see me doing all this I'm doing. It's just because I really want to help women. It turned now into inspirational. So I started writing books depending on the mood I am, depending on what I went through, depending on how I overcome, depending how other people's situation are going. So I decided to write more on those stories of empowerment, on those stories to inspire other women that you cannot stay in a relationship where it's not saving you. You've got to love yourself at some point to start doing things for yourself, to start changing that bad situation to a better situation. So that's why I write. And coming to She Inspires Me, I was overwhelmed when Ada asked me to write the book because I was already writing with her in my other book. I had invited her because we had met through Lowani. So I decided, oh, she's a sister. Well, why can't I write with her? So we wrote another book, Mending the Brokenhearted, together. But meanwhile, she invites me now on this platform as an advisory board member for She Inspired Me Awards. So she invited me as well to write, and I felt this is the time where I can actually express what I was feeling during this pandemic. So that's why I wrote my story regarding the pandemic. It was prompted through fear, through what everybody else was going through. Thank you, Robbie. Sorry, I couldn't stop and give you the chance.
No, that's okay. You know what's interesting? Yeah. During the pandemic, first off, I think because you experienced domestic violence, which I'm sorry that you have, people listen to you. It's not like you're standing up there saying you do this or that and you haven't had the experience. You've been through it, so they're probably absorbing it a lot more. And secondly, during this pandemic, I have a friend that's a psychologist in California, and she's been in the business 28 years, and she's called in whenever she's like a debriefer, whenever there's really terrible things happen, then she gets called mm-hmm. in. And what she was telling me is that this pandemic and the lockdown has actually put the children and the family right with the abusers, and so the abusing is worse than it was.
Absolutely,
because
yes.
The children could get away and go to school or something like that, but with the lockdown, they're locked with them.
Yes. I've got a lot of friends up here who are facing, some of them are really in the process of divorcing because of what the pandemic has caused, because they've been fighting. I always counsel a friend. I call her a friend because when you get to know somebody and you know their story and know what they're going through, and me knowing my situation, what I went through, and if I see somebody going through that, just in this time, whatever is going on in the world with the pandemic, to see that somebody is going through what I went through 30 years ago, and she's crying all the time. I'm holding her on my shoulder. Please don't cry. Please don't cry. Take action. Don't just leave it like this. And she's holding her kids and trying to see what can she do. I said to her, how did this start? And she said, it's just because of the pandemic, because we have never stayed with my husband for a week together at home in the same house and, crossing each other's pathways in the house. We used to go to work, so we are not going to work. And each time we are quarreling, and they're doing that in front of the kids, and they are fighting until now. I congratulate her. Finally, she's moved out and she got somewhere to go. So she's leaving this household. It's really difficult when you are faced with such things. For her, I say because we are in the Western world, I'm happy. I'm not happy in the sense that people are having domestic violence, but I'm happy that people are a little bit civil down here because they don't fight. In Africa, if I can tell you my own story, you won't like it, because I used to be bashed on the wall for even dressing up. If you dress up and he's asking, where are you going dressed like that? This is not work where you're going. I could be hit. I could be stabbed. I've got a stabbed wound in my back because of jealousy. And nobody can stop him because nobody wants to listen when you're married, because people just say, he's a husband. He is talking to his wife. Not many people would interfere in domestic violence. It's only now that we have some organizations, people like us who want to speak to people, people like us, we go into communities and try to tell people that, you know what, you are better, you deserve better than this. Please find a way to come out of this. And sometimes people are hauled into such situation because of poverty, because they can't afford how to live on themselves again after these so-called marriages. So they stay in there because of the finance problems. They stay in there because they've got nothing else. They have never known anything else besides this man. To them is like heaven, because he's the one working. He's the one looking after them. So I try to empower women by telling them, do something, do some self-help projects where you can help yourself and change this situation. Even here, whilst I'm here in England, I'm not only doing my job. I'm not only doing lecturing. I'm not a lecturer anymore. But I'm empowering women to write their story as well. Even here, I've got a lot of women. This year alone, we wrote over 6 books. That's how I empower women, to try and make them speak so that they share their stories with others and help others and change people's stories as well. It's not only, I always tell my authors that it's not money about these books. It's about saving the community, changing the community, helping people to change their life through writing. So that's why I try to encourage women to do other things so that they change the way they see things, they change their mind and, you know, develop and do better projects for themselves. That's why we do all this. Thank you. Over to you, Robbie.
How can people get your books? Find them, so if they want to just...
I've got so many books, but I would urge people, because I really want people to understand, because a lot of people, when they see you dressed up walking out there, they think, oh, there is a polished woman. She has got nothing behind her. But I want people to understand my story and get the resistance to life, because through my story, you see that there's something deeper to what I'm saying right now, which I haven't spoken. But I did write it down for a reason, so that people, they don't just see the out me, they don't know the inside of me, and they don't know what exactly happened. Where did I get this energy to write the book? Right. My books are all on Amazon. If you go on Amazon.com and just Google Jocene Abrams books, they will come. I've got over 20 books, but some of them are in different places, so I'm trying to work on putting them all together. The book I would advise all the women to read, so that they know there are struggles out there, is Peace After the Storm. That was my first book. That is the book about me. That is the book who will tell people my resilience through my struggles. And here I am now. I'm smiling now. I don't cry. I don't shed tears, because I used to cry when I say my story in front of people. I've been to all over the places speaking and talking about my story. I don't shy away from that story. The way I see myself is that writing, that speaking of those things that I never thought I would speak about, it helped me to change my life. It helped the other women as well to see that, you know, there's something better to life. There's a way one can change their life too, through my story. So, yeah, the book can be found on Amazon.
Okay, I'll make sure that we put that up there. Tell me a little bit about Loni. What is that? What is all that about?
Oh, right. Lwani is an organization for, Lwani stands for all African, women of all nations, ladies of all nations, international. So Lwani is an organization where all women are getting together, where all women are being supported, where all women are being recognized as survivors, or all women are given the platform to showcase themselves, whether you're a dancer, whether you're a singer, whether you've been abused. We embrace each other with our problems as women. We work together. We support one another. Whenever you've got a problem, you just go to Lwani and you see a sister there waiting for you to help you to go through whatever problem you're going to. So it's an international organization which is standing for women, which is helping women to recover from whatever they've gone through, to be women again. I mean, some people lack confidence, so we want to reinvent women and give them the confidence again that they can live after, you know, after the misery they've gone through, whether it's domestic violence, whether it's an accident, whether there's something that happened to them, whether it's an illness, because sometimes you become ill and you lose all your confidence, you lose your hair, you lose your leg, you lose something disappears from you, And we want to tell women that we are all together in this. We support each other as sisters worldwide, regardless of color, regardless of where you come from. You are a sister. Ladies of All Nations stands for everybody.
Oh, that sounds great. Do they have people from the U.S. involved in that as well?
Oh, yes. We've got a lot of people now joining us from the U.S., and we have traveled worldwide with Lawani. We have been to India. We've been to Morocco. We have been wherever you can name it. We've been there to the U.S. We've been to Florida. We've been to New York. Wherever there are women, this organization, we've got to go and empower ourselves and stand out as women. We don't count problems. We count women's strength. And the togetherness, the working together is what we want. And we believe that women together, they can change and shake this world.
Now, that's what we do. I have a nonprofit women's organization in California, which we have global and members from other states as well. And it's all about helping women soar to greater heights by being there for them and, you know, listening to them and offering them people to meet to help them. Tell me a little bit about you've received some humanitarian awards. Tell me about those.
Oh, I've received several humanitarian awards because of what we do, because of what I've been explaining, going right there in the village and sitting down with these women and helping them, empower them, change them, give them some help and try to work out where we can get some funding to help some little projects here and there, where we can help these people to start living, to start doing some little project to help them. We even go there and help their children as well to make sure that their children are going into school. We have raised our own monies to go and give some places so that people, children can go into school, because in Africa, most of the children, they pay school fees. Some teachers are not being paid in some of the places. There's no electricity. All those things we do, they do go towards humanitarian needs. So we are recognized as an organization that helps people. That's how we get these humanitarian awards, because people realize when you do good, you don't go around boasting about it, but people just notice that something good is happening over there, and they award you for that. So we are so happy and we are humbled to receive such awards that we are helping the world. We are helping our sisters. We make sure that they live a better life by so doing, by so coaching them to do something better, coaching them to change their lives as well. So that's how we got this humanitarian. I even got a BAFTA from here. A BAFTA is the highest offer of the British Awards. I got a BAFTA award because of all this writing, because I empower people with my book. I write real stories. I don't write fiction. I write authentic, real stories of things that happen in life. So that's what I inspire people, because I'm an inspirational speaker. I speak about the things that I know that hurts most, that people are failing to bring out because they are shy or just because they don't want to speak about it. They don't want to put it on public. But I stand up and speak about it so that people see that this is not good. It's a sort of raising awareness so that people know that these things affect people. These things affect humans. They affect families. Families are losing their lives because of some of the things we don't want to speak about. So the more we speak, the more we help, the more we change this world. Thank you, Robbie.
So tell me, what are some of the future things that what are you looking at for the future to complete? What are some of your dreams?
You know, with the pandemic, sometimes you don't really plan the future. We are living now. We are living at the moment. We are living the moment. So our plans are, we hope that this pandemic will go, and we hope to go right around the world wherever we haven't been to see what's going on there with regards to women, so that we can help more, so that we can do more projects, which could help women, even there to California. We are coming, Robbie, if you invite us, we will be there. And we want to see you here as well, here in Britain, so that we can, you know, the more people get together, the more we work together and mix worldwide, the more we get the answers which we are looking at for the world. So we are the people who change the world. We are the people who empower this young generation. We want them to know that as women, we can do different projects to help ourselves. We can't just live on one salary, not these days. You need to have some multitasking jobs so that you can bring different incomes into your household. I always say to my daughter, you know, you need to learn another skill besides your skill you learned in school. You need to learn something different. We were lucky because our mothers used to teach us how to knit. They used to teach us how to cook, how to do everything. You can't take a child in Britain, even at 11, they still consider them children. They are not teaching them basic things they need to know. And with our projects, with the way we go out there, we encourage people, we encourage mothers to teach their children as much as they can. So we are looking forward to a better year next year so that we can start going around and helping the world again.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. I'm looking forward to meeting you because I also am a She Inspires Me Award 2020 winner, and I'm also on the advisory board, and I'm also a co-author in Ada's book, Quarantina and Beyond.
Quarantina,
so I'm excited to be a part of it with you. So I'll be
I'm
get a chance to meet you in London.
I'm excited too. We just hope that all this goes out and we can meet, everybody meets, hug each other and share stories and laugh. By then people would have read my book and say, how do you stand? How come you're still walking? This will give other people, you know, the courage to carry on with life and change their own lives and do something better for themselves. So,
since you're
yes,
not able to go out and speak live, are you doing Zoom? Are you using Zoom to get into different areas to speak to women?
Oh, yes. We do Zoom quite a lot. At the moment, we do speak, you know, with things that is going on in the world. Many people are quite lonely. And we do Zooms and prayers as well. We do church prayers and the organization, different organizations we meet, and just discuss socially what's happening. You know, as a human being, we live quietly in this Western world, and people don't usually share. But with Zooms, people are getting more open because they're getting to understand us, the way we're coming from, because we speak to them now and again. So they have the opportunity to air. The good thing about this pandemic, which I salute, and which was never there before the pandemic, is that we are all one now. We can speak to somebody who is right down in Zimbabwe. We can speak with someone who is in California, where you are, just on Zoom, and just say good afternoon and seeing the face, making face open and seeing one another. It makes the change that was never there. So we feel like more like a family because we see each other now and again, and we get to speak about different things. So
the reason I asked you about Zoom is that, you know, as I said, I have 11 networks and we have several that do Zoom. So, and we're getting ready to set up our speakers for next year. So maybe you might consider being one of our speakers.
I would love to be, Robbie. I would really love to be.
What
to be
we
honest.
Can do is do a lunch meeting for you would be earlier than 9:00. Like we have meetings. We have several that meet like at noon. So that might work best for you, and that I think it would be great to hear from somebody from out of the country and hear, you know, how your struggles and then but how you've turned it around to touch lives and make a difference.
Yes, yes. I would love to do that, Robbie. As long as I know in time, I've got to book for Africa sometime early next year. God willing, things will be better. Then I'll be able to travel. But I would love to come to California as well if there's something going on. And
if we do Zoom, you don't have to come. Just do it on Zoom.
I'm happy. I'm happy with Zoom. I'm happy Zoom. The more the merrier. I'm happy with Zoom. And if you want to get to know me better as well, otherwise I'll limit you from what you need to know. You can just see the, if you're in England, I could just sign the book and post it to you. But then you are somewhere far, which you can get it from the Amazon.
No, I'll go on Amazon. I'm going to go on Amazon and get the book. You have a website. Yeah. What is your website?
Okay, it's peaceforglobalwomen.com.
Great. So share some, we have about 14 minutes left, so share some other wisdom with us.
Right, okay. Yes, I would love to do that. I just want to empower somebody this evening that no matter whatever you're going through, you've got to look forward positively, that there is nothing that will conquer you. There is nothing that will defeat you because you've lived this far. If it's somebody of my age and considering what I went through 30 years back and seeing myself that I'm still here, it's because of God. We really need to be prayerful and take these situations, whatever is done to you, don't take it with sorrow or sadness to say, why did it happen to me? Had I gone that route, I wouldn't be here with you. But I had to put Christ first and say, Lord, this has happened. And there is no way I can change this. There is no way I can do this by myself. Besides, I have to embrace you in my life and you guide me and show me the way. Once I did that, I learned to forgive. I have learned to forgive through my story because what happened is something that I wouldn't own way without knowing God, I wouldn't forgive. But because I embraced God, I called God into my life and look at it that way, that positive way to say that, you know, everything has got a reason why it happens to you. It changed my life in a way that I'm now able to stand in front of other women and help them and tell them that whatever they're going through, except they have to accept God first and make their God their priority. Because without God, some of the things we face as women, we will never go through them. Once you do that, be positive, be focused, love yourself. Make sure you love yourself because there are some women who do only things for the husband, only things for the children. They tend to forget about themselves. Look at yourself and see yourself. Who are you? What do you want for your life? What can you change for your life? How can you educate yourself, educate your mind, change things, embrace the future, love life so that you can live a better life? Love thy neighbor. See that the person next to you is happy. See that the person, be a good listener as well if you want a better life. If you listen and help other people, give away. Have you ever seen that the people who give away too much will receive more? So that's why we do all this, what we do. It's not because of our power. We don't have any power. The power comes from above. All what we get is because we do better things for other people. Love people. Share the love. Help other people. Show them how to come out from these problems. Don't just look. When you see somebody going through a problem or somebody going through a phase, just help any way I could help. Is there any way I could help and show you how to do this? I've got a solution. I had something like this before you. I had to go through this because I did this, 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 and that. Show that you are able to help. You are prepared to help. You are going to be there and start to help other people. For you to move on, for you to have a better life, you've got to help other people. Thank you. Over to you, Robbie.
Yes, that's so true. You know, one of the things that always amazed me, a lot of times when women are in a domestic violence event, they know they have to leave, but it's very difficult for them to have the courage to step out. And usually they'll leave, but then they end up going back. Do you find that still to be true?
It's very, very true. A lot of women do that. I don't know. Maybe it's our heart. It's how we were designed, because we forgive too much. We take care of others. That's how we are, women. We take the greatest care for others and forget ourselves. I used to do that as well. I could give away everything I have and remain with nothing. I could use the money I'm supposed to pay my rent to borrow it to somebody who is desperate and forget about myself. That goes again to domestic violence. If you are not careful, you feel like you are the guilty person. You don't want to feel like your husband is guilty. You don't want the other person to be the guilty person. You always say, okay, God knows, there's nothing I can do. Some people give excuses to say, I'll leave for my children. No, you are even making it worse by staying there in that situation with your children, so that your children see that your head is being banged on the wall every day. Then what type of children are you raising? You are raising cowards as well, because they will start learning from that and thinking that's the right way. So if you want a better life, you better choose that for yourself and love yourself. The more you disown yourself from this situation and move to a better side, the better, because your children will grow up not seeing that. They'll grow up to be examples because of what they are seeing. So we don't want to raise our children in such a situation that it will stay like that and it won't change. So the better you realize that you want to save your family and save yourself, the better. Over to you, Robbie.
Wow, that's true. That's so much true. Well, it's been a very delight to have you on my show today. And we've been talking to Josine Abrams, and she's got 20 books that you can find on Amazon. Just type in her name, Josine, and it's Abrahams. And her website is www.peacefulglobalwomen.com. And also her first book, that if you read it, you'll hear her whole story, is called Peace After the Storm. Peace After the Storm. And she's also a 2020 She Inspires Me Award winner, and is on the SEMA Advisory Board, and also co-author in a new book coming out, Quarantina and Beyond, that should be published this month, that Ada is putting together in England with 47 co-authors. Thank you so much. It was fun. We did almost 45 minutes. How did it feel?
Thank you, Robbie. Thank you. I'm happy to be on your show, and thank you so much for everything. I look forward to be on your Zoom, and yes, you can use me anywhere to help as much as I can and to help motivate and empower women wherever we are. I'm glad that we have crossed our paths through Quarantino, so we will be sisters again. We pray that we have a better year ahead, and I hope that you're going to have a nice Christmas with your family. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. And the show will be live on that same link I sent you in a few minutes, so everybody can listen. So bye now.
Thank you.